Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. We're going to focus in on verse 9 this evening, part of Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers. My intent is to go through the entire prayer, but we're not going to do it all tonight. So you can breathe a sigh of relief. I mentioned on Monday night, as we met as men, part of the reason for Men of Faith, as we have called it in these times that we're meeting together, is just to try and encourage us spiritually and stimulate some spiritual conversation, get to know one another. We want to encourage each other in the Lord, and so we've done some different things to try and facilitate that. But one of the things, what we did this past Monday night, was I gave them a sheet like this, only with no answers on it. It had the title heading, Praying for God's Will for Faith Baptist Church. By the way, do you have this? It was out on the table in the foyer. So, okay. We're not going to refer to it all night, but I just wanted you to explain to you what this is about. There were three verses that we put together, Colossians 1 and verse 9, and I just took the portion of it that I wanted to focus on. Paul said, we don't cease to pray for you and desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, always labors fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So we have two prayers, beginning one at the end of the book of Colossians. One is that we might know the will of God, and the other is that we might do the will of God perfectly, completely. That was the prayer of Paul and the prayer of Epaphras, and in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, we're reminded that if we ask anything according to the will of God, he will hear us, and we know if he hears us, then we know that we have the petition, the request that we have made of him. So if I pray that God would, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, if I pray that is the will of God that we be filled with the knowledge of his will, so I can pray that and know that I'm praying in the will of God and that God will hear and will answer that prayer. And he also wants us to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, whatever that means, and I'm not getting into that tonight, but basically to do God's will, let's just sum it up that way for the moment. That is the will of God as well. So if we're praying, Lord, not only help us to know God's will, but help us to do God's will, we're praying according to the will of God. So then the question for the men was, let's go through and let's answer the question, what is God's will for Faith Baptist Church? That is, what are some things that is God's will for the church as a whole, just for the church? And then, what is God's will for the men of the church, and then for the ladies of the church, and then for the youth of the church? And we tried to answer those questions. Now, that's four categories that, as I was thinking about this, as the Lord put those three verses together in my heart, mind, as I was thinking about this, and then those four categories came up. You can add categories, and you can add things under those categories. This is not an exhaustive list. What is God's will for Faith Baptist Church? Well, there's a lot of things that could go under that, but these were things that we came up with Monday night, and then I added verses. We didn't have all the verses Monday night, but I went through and added some verses, and you could come up with other verses for all of these things as well, but I would encourage you to take this, put it in your Bible somewhere, and use it as a guide to pray for Faith Baptist Church. You can pray these things. God, we want to have a biblical ministry. We do have that. But God, we want to continue to maintain a biblical ministry and one that glorifies you. Lord, help that to be true of us. We need to be involved in evangelism and missions. Lord, show us the ways in which you want us to do that. We are engaged in those things, but there's more that we can do. Lord, lead us in that and enable us in what we're trying to do already. Lord, help us to be discipling believers and to be unified and to practice sacrificial love and to be in submission to the spiritual leaders that you have put over us. And anyway, on and on, you could go through all these categories, and you can pray those things to God for the church, for the men of the church, the ladies of the church, the youth of the church. You can pray those things to God and know that you're praying in the will of God, and know that God, these are things that God wants for us and that God will hear and answer those prayers. Because, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm trying to pray for you, somehow I don't know what to pray. You know, Lord, what do I pray? Okay, you're sick. Well, I can pray for your healing. I can pray for grace and comfort, and those are important things, and those are things that God wants to give you if you're sick. But sometimes it just seems like that's just not enough. I don't know. And sometimes it's like, I don't know exactly what to pray for you. I can pray general things for you, but I don't know what to pray for you. How do we pray for one another? What do we pray for? I don't know. Do you ever feel that way? Am I alone in that? You know. But again, and so John tells us if we pray according to God's will, our prayer will be answered. And there are many things that we pray that are not the will of God, or we're not sure are the will of God. If we pray for somebody's healing, that may be the will of God, but it may not be. So I can't pray confidently, God, heal them, if not knowing for sure whether that's his will or not. But I can know it is God's will that they would be comforted, that they have peace and joy and hope, even in their suffering. Those are things that are the will of God that I could pray confidently. But I don't always know what to pray for, or I pray for things that I want God to do but may or may not be in God's will. But the things that are in the will of God are in the Word of God. And so if we want to know what to pray for one another in the will of God, then we go to the Word of God to find out what God says. And so Paul's prayers for the churches, and in each of his letters, he writes of his prayer for those churches, and all of those prayers of Paul in his epistles teach us how to pray for one another, because Paul is praying for the church at Philippi, the church at Colossae, the church at Ephesus, but he's praying for the church, and he's praying according to the will of God, and his prayer requests, again, though there's nothing wrong with praying for physical needs or even material needs. Does God care about those things? Yes, he does. But the most important things are spiritual. And the prayers of Paul in these letters are prayers for God to do spiritual things among his people. And so those prayers can guide us in knowing how to pray for one another and what to pray for one another. And so in this prayer for the Colossians that's recorded here, it begins in verse 9 and goes down into verse 12, and really by one of the things about Paul's writings, and Paul would run sentences together, he just keeps going and going and going and going. And so sometimes it's hard to know, where do you stop? Where does a new thought begin? So it kind of ends in verse 12, although he builds on that as he goes on in verse 13 and so forth. But as you look at this, and there is one request in this prayer, and then everything else builds off of that request. So the request is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It is a prayer that they might know the will of God. It begins with the words, "for this cause," which refers back to what he has said previously, where he just tells them, "I thank God for your faith and your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have to all the saints," verse 4, "the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." You have heard the gospel, you've been saved, it has impacted your life, now you have a love for all the saints, and you have hope for eternity. And Epaphras has come. Paul never went to Colossae. This is one of the churches he had never visited, but he wrote this letter to them because he's the apostle to the Gentiles. They're under his apostle apostolic authority or leadership, but he's never been there. But Epaphras, who evidently is the minister there, the pastor, comes to Paul as he's in prison in Rome and tells him of the good work that God has done at the church in Colossae, and brings up a problem, which we're not going to get into, but I'll just mention there's this heresy called Gnosticism. It's taken from the Greek word for knowledge, gnosis. And the Gnostics believe that there was a special knowledge that God gives to certain people, that you had to be one of the enlightened ones to have that knowledge. And there was a lot involved in that that we don't need to get into tonight. But it is significant that Paul uses the word knowledge in verse 9, and he uses the word spiritual understanding and wisdom, because those would be words that the Gnostics would use to try and talk about how they had this superior knowledge that you needed, and maybe you would be one of the initiated who could get it, but they had it. So Paul's trying to explain to them that you have everything you need in Christ. That's the message of Colossians. You have everything that you need in Christ. And even the knowledge, all the knowledge that you need for life is not found out there in some humanistic philosophy. It's found in Christ. And so he prays that they would know the will of God. And so let's look at that. Let's see what he has to say. Let's begin to understand what Paul has to say about praying for God's will for our church. But let's begin by asking this question. When we talk about the will of God, what are we talking about? When we talk about the will of God, and very simply, we could just say this. When we talk about the will of God, we're talking about what he wants, what he desires for his church, for his people. And you can personalize that, what God wants for me. And his will is found in his word. What does God want for you? What does God want for us? And again, the answer to that question is found in the word of God, in the Bible. So if we want to know the will of God, we have to go to the word of God and be looking there to find out what is it that God wants. Again, Monday night, as we did this sheet, the men were asked to write down God's will, but I said at the outset, it has to be biblical. Whatever you come up with has to be biblical. You need to be able to support it with Scripture. You don't necessarily have to know the chapter and verse, but you got to know that there is a verse in the Bible that supports what you're saying. And so, again, we went through and put verses by all of these. I think there's one that's missing verses because I couldn't think of any specifically. Number two, under what is God's will for the men of the church, they've been men of character and integrity. Titus 2 speaks of that. But I was trying to think of it, and I didn't ever come up with a really good, clear verse for that. But certainly that's true. And there may be many verses that would support that. But we wanted to be biblical as far as that goes. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the will of God. We're talking about what God wants or desires for your life and mine, for us as a church. And that will is found in the word of God. But the word that he uses for knowledge, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, the word knowledge there is experiential knowledge. It speaks of a knowledge that grows as we grow. The more that we know the Bible, the more that we will know God's will for our lives. Because again, if the will of God is revealed in the word of God, how many of you know this book perfectly from cover to cover? I don't. So there's things in there that are God's will that I've never discovered yet. But as I continue to read and study his word, when he wants me to find them, he will show them to me. But we just have to keep studying the book, reading the book, and God will teach us his will as we know the word. So the more that we know the Bible, the more that we'll know God's will for our lives. I was reminded of an illustration of this in the Bible. Matter of fact, why don't you turn to the book of Daniel? And chapter 9. And look at verses 1 through 3. It was the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, so this was after the Babylonians were defeated by the Medo-Persians. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I want to stop a minute, and let me just let you get involved in this and think with me tonight. So in verse 2, when we read that, that tells us that Daniel was doing what? What does verse 2 tell us that Daniel was doing? Reading the book of Jeremiah. He had somehow gotten a copy of the scroll of Jeremiah's writings. He was reading it, and he was studying it. He's reading along, and all of a sudden, boom, wow. God said through Jeremiah that the Babylonian captivity will only last for 70 years. Let's see. We're there. And so then what does he do? Well, verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now I know the will of God. Now I'm going to pray that God will do his will, work his will. But Daniel found the will of God by reading and studying the word of God. And the same thing will happen to you. Again, you're reading the book, and boom, there it is. God all of a sudden turns the light on, and you say, wait a minute, this is something God wants for my life. I didn't realize that. So the more we know the Bible, the more we will know God's will for our lives. So in order for this prayer to be answered, even in our lives, if we would pray for one another that we would know the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that's a request that we can make for one another. God, help us to know your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, whatever that means, and we'll talk about that. We can pray that, but if that prayer is going to be answered, that means that we're going to have to be in the book. But also, not only do we need to know the Bible, we need to know God. Because the more we know God, the more we will know his will for our lives. What ought to become true, and it won't it over time, but we are to be like him. And so as we come to know what he is like, we become like him. Romans 8:29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us to be like Christ. That's why he saved us, to make us like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. So as we behold, as we see God, as he reveals himself in the book, we see ourselves and see where we're not like him, and then the Holy Spirit changes us so that we become like him. But that's a process that lasts an entire lifetime. But it is coming to know him, to see him as he is. When I see the selfless love of God, and I look at my selfishness and my lack of love, and I realize God wants me to be sacrificially loving, selflessly loving others, and I don't do it like I should. And so, Lord, forgive me for not, and help me to be more loving, to be more willing to sacrifice for the good and the blessing of others. But God wants us to be like him. It is his will that we become like him. So we need to know him and know his will as revealed in his word and become like him. But it is an understanding of who God is and what his will is for our life. And it's something that grows over time. And let's just note here tonight as well that the will of God should dominate our lives. God created you to serve him, to do his will. You rebelled. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone our way. God said, do this. We said, no, I'm going to do that. And so God saved us. He turned us around, and all of a sudden now we've got new desires. We want to do his will. We don't always do it perfectly, but we want to do his will. But that ought to be the most important thing to us, that we do his will. Matter of fact, the word filled, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will, suggests that our life is consumed with knowing and doing the will of God. In Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, it was prophesied of the Lord Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The psalmist wrote of the Lord Jesus that as he came into the world, that he would delight to do the will of his Father. He was committed to doing the will of God, and he did it perfectly. And the writer of Hebrews applies that prophecy in Psalm 40 to the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. And what did Jesus say over and over again? John 5:30, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In John 8:29, I do always those things that please the Father. John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus set the example for us. His life was consumed with doing the Father's will. Matter of fact, there's an interesting passage in the book of Isaiah, and if you'll turn back there, again, the book of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 50. I'm pulling this off the top of my head, so bear with me as I try and find it. It's right in there. We'll get to it in our reading, but let me point to it tonight. Yes, Isaiah 50, verse 4, and I may have taken you this passage before, but let's bring it into the message tonight because it relates to what we're saying. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ said that day by day, morning by morning, Christ would get up, and his question was for the day, Father, what is your will for me today? Matter of fact, in Mark 1 and verse 35, we're told that rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out into a desert place and began to pray. That was his habit. And though it doesn't say specifically, based on the passage in Isaiah, it would suggest that every morning he would be up praying, talking to his Father, and at least a part of that was, Father, what is your will today? What is my task today? What do you want me to do today? And moment by moment throughout the day, he did the will of the Father. Sometimes, by the way, doing the will of the Father meant he didn't do the will of men. They wanted him to do something, and he said, no, it's not my Father's will. Matter of fact, in that passage in Mark 1, he had performed miracles. I think it was in Capernaum, and he's performed miracles on the evening before. He gets up a great while before day, and the disciples come looking for him. They find him, and they say, Lord, we need to go back to Capernaum because they're clamoring for you to come back and do more miracles and more teaching. And Jesus said, no, I got to go on. The Father doesn't want me to go back. The Father wants me to go on to other villages and cities and preach in their place and do miracles in their place. That's the will of the Father. And he wasn't directed by the will of men, but by the will of God, by the will of his Father. He is God, but he taught us by his example to do the will of God, to be filled with the will of God. And so our lives should be dominated by the will of God. But we would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that we would know the will of God completely. The word filled means to fill to the top so that there's no room for more. Again, we should be consumed with knowing and doing the will of God. And we should come to know him so thoroughly that in any given situation, we do instinctively what he would do. That's the goal. So that I don't have to stop and think, what would Jesus do right here? What does God want me to do right here? I should become so like him that when I face that situation, I just automatically do what God would do because my heart is so committed to his will. I know what it is, and I've been striving to do it, and I just instinctively do it. And again, that's a lifetime growth process. But that's where we're headed, to where I just automatically do what God would have me to do. I've been reading a message recently. I was reminded of it in thinking about that idea. There was this preacher preached on Christ liveth in me, talking about Paul's statement, Christ liveth in me. And he used an illustration that I thought was very interesting. And let me just give it to you in my own words, but basically it would be something like this. If Rembrandt lived in you, we would expect you to be able to paint pictures like Rembrandt. Well, if Christ lives in us, then we ought to be like Christ. And that is the goal. And we are not perfectly like Christ, but that is what we're to be becoming because he is in us. And his will should be so in us, so filling us, that we just naturally do what God wants us to do. One writer noted the word filled in Ephesians 5:18, it has to do with control. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, be controlled by the Spirit. So that idea of being filled with the knowledge of his will means that we should be controlled, again, by his will. Daily the question is, what is his will? Moment by moment throughout the day, the question is, what is his will? Lord, what do you want me to be doing right now? Lord, what is your will about this or that or the other? Always seeking his will. Okay? So we are to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Then let's look at two other words here, or two other thoughts here. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What does that mean? Well, the word wisdom is a general term for just knowing the will of God as revealed in his word. When these two terms are used together, you know, sometimes we think about wisdom as the skillful application of what we know, but when the words are used together, wisdom is just knowing the will of God as he's revealed it in his word. And let's think about this. What are some things that we know are the will of God as revealed in his word? Things that we know, let me just give you three where it's very specifically stated, and there's many things that could be said, but in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, it says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That is the will of God. It's stated very clearly in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God wants me to be thankful. God wants me to be morally pure. 1 Peter 2:13 through 15, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. God wants us to be in submission to the governmental authorities over us so that we have maintain a good testimony for God before them. That's the will of God. It's stated very specifically. Now, there are other things that are stated in the Word of God that we could bring in here that are not, they don't have the word will in them, but they are clearly God's will. Husbands, love your wives. That's the will of God. The word will is not there. Paul didn't say, husbands, love your wives, because this is the will of God. But the statement, husbands, love your wives, indicates that's God's will. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those are statements of God's will. And you could go through the whole Bible and looking at statements like that. That is the will of God. These things are what God wants. So, again, when I'm praying for each other, I'm praying for others, what of those things does God want for them? And I can pray those things for them. What does God want for me? I can pray those things for me. And then, what does God want for our church as a whole? And I can pray for those things as he reveals them in his word. But what about the term all spiritual understanding? And that takes it a step further. Because what that refers to is the knowledge of his will in specific areas. Because there are areas of life where there's not a specific command or a revelation of God's will. The Bible would not even, the earth could not contain the Bible if it addressed everything that ever has or ever will come up in the history of man. And maybe the easiest ways to illustrate this is, when the Bible was written, there were no computers or cell phones or tablets or TVs. But does God have a will about those things? Absolutely. So how do I know God's will about how I use my cell phone or my computer or my tablet or television? Or, what about dress styles? They change over time. What is God's will about what I wear? Does God care what I wear? Well, yes, he does. So how do I know the answer to those questions? God has a will. And the spiritual understanding is the ability to take what I do know that God has revealed in his word and then be able to apply it to those kinds of decisions. Because when I'm making those decisions, there is some areas and some, it may be like, you could think about it like this. There is a box that is the will of God, and in that box you have a lot of freedom to make decisions as long as you stay in that box. All right, so let me see if I can. But there are some things, I've lost my train of thought here, where I'm going with all this. But then there are things that God's very specific about, or you don't have freedom to just do whatever you want to do. That's where I'm going with it. There are things where God gives you the freedom to do what you want to do within certain parameters. You can do whatever you want to do within that. For instance, I give you in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, widows, Paul says to them, you can marry whoever you want as long as it's in the Lord. So you can marry any believer you want. You're free to choose the believer you want to marry. Just you marry a believer. The will of God in that situation, that's the box, if you will, is this has to be a believer. And from all the women or men, we're talking about a lady, all the men that you know who are believers who are not married, they're all in that box, as it were, and you can choose the one you want. And you're free to do that. That's what Paul says. So there's freedom within the box. But there are some things I don't have the freedom just to do what I want to do. That God is very specific. There's no box. There's just, this is it, and you must do this. But sometimes the only way to know God's will about that is to apply the principles of God's word. And I need discernment to be able to know what principles apply and how they apply. And that is certainly something that I have to grow into. Paul wrote to the Roman church in those verses that are very familiar to us, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that all about? And I stopped, because the reason for all that comes in that last statement, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to know the will of God in those circumstances where he doesn't tell you his will? And that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about. Because be completely surrendered to the Lord. Don't be conformed to the world. Let the word of God transform your mind. And as that happens, you can then prove or come to know the perfect will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in every area of life. We need to grow in that. And especially in this day and time, we need discernment. But it's been true in every generation of believers because there's always something new. And we always have to, as we would take it and use it, we always have to ask the question, Lord, how can I use this in a way that honors you, in a way that is consistent with your will for my life? And you can know. You can have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God and yet not have spiritual understanding. One writer put it this way. He said, a man can quite easily be a master of theology and a failure in living. He's able to write and talk about the great eternal truths, but he can't apply these truths to the things that meet him every day. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you would be growing in your understanding of what the will of God is so that it just controls you, and not only the things where he has specifically stated his will, but that you would be so filled with the knowledge of his will as you grow in knowing the word of God and knowing God that you can even make decisions about the things in life that the Bible doesn't specifically address and make good decisions that are consistent with the will of God. So that's the prayer. At least that's the request, that they would know the will of God. They would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we need to pray for one another. We need to pray according to God's will. And we can pray this prayer that God would give us a growing knowledge of his will and discernment in applying what we know to the situations that we face day in and day out where God doesn't specifically speak to them, but we've got to discern what is God's will in those situations. And so we can pray that God would give us that kind of a knowledge and understanding of his will. And so let me encourage you. I know that you do pray for one another, but let me encourage you to think about praying for one another in this way, no matter, not necessarily to stop praying the way you have been praying. Your prayers have been answered. And every time we visit with somebody like we have with the Greens in the last couple weeks, and I hear the same things over and over again, that Faith Baptist Church, those are praying people, and we feel their prayers. So I know you pray, and I know that it makes a difference. And here's some things that we can pray that just will enhance our prayer life. Continue to pray and pray in the will of God. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, I pray that you would give us an understanding even of these truths that we have talked about tonight. That we would grow in our knowledge of your will for our lives. That we would have discernment. There are so many opportunities and possibilities that face us each and every day. And we need wisdom and spiritual understanding to make good choices that honor you and that demonstrate your likeness in us. And so, Lord, teach us to know your will and to do it. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.